So last week we spoke about Sefiras HaOmer. This week we go back to the Parshas HaShavua formula. And we're dealing with the mitzvah of the weekly Parsha. But a very, 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 very relevant discussion. And this is a question I was asked many times, primarily by business people, but it is relevant not only to our business dealings, in some other aspects of our life as well. V'chisim kero memkala amisecho, oikonoi miyad amisecho, al toinu ish esrei eyu. So this misses the source, the lav, the lotasa, the prohibition of einua, and it is also the source of mitzvahs hamekach v'hamemkar. The Rambam counts mekach v'memkar, one of the Targum mitzvah b'toira. But we will be dealing with a total addition and Rashi on the spot. V'chisim kero memkar amisecho, lofi pshutoi kemashmoi. Pshat and posik is, when you sell or you buy, don't cheat, be honest. But Rashi brings a medrash, v'oid yesh drosha. And this drosha is found in Torah's Koyanim, the Sifro, here on the spot. Menayin kishato moicha, mechoir yisur chavecho, Talmud loimer v'chi simkur memkar. La'amisecho mechoir, u'menayin she'im boso liknois, knei miyesoel chavercho, Talmud loimer oikono miyad amisecho. So when you come to sell to your brethren. When you come to buy from your people, from your brothers, from your brethren, and give them preference over buying or selling to a non-Jew. This is what Rashi brings, the source is a Sefro. So what does this drasha mean? Is it only if both are willing to sell for the same price, or both are willing to pay the same price? Or what is the halacha if I could sell to a Jew, but I could sell for a better price to a non-Jew, and he would be paying more, and I would be making somewhat of a profit? Do I still have to prefer selling to a Jew before selling to a non-Jew? And the same goes the other way around. When I am buying and I could get a better price from a non-Jew, do I need to buy from a Jew and pay more? Or is the financial interest paramount and that overrides helping one of our own to sell or to buy? We find two sources in Shas Bavli which are similar to this Torah's Koyanim. The Sefro is not brought either in Bavli or in Yerushalmi, but we do find two similar sugyas. One is in Avodah Zorah, Daf Chof Amud Aleph, and the Gemara of Avodah Zorah deals with the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. Lo'i soichlu kol nevelo, leger asher b'shorecho titneno, o mechoyer lenachri. So the Gemara notes, leger asher b'shorecho titneno, give it to a ger or sell it to a non-Jew. And the posuk seems to indicate to a ger, and the posuk is not dealing with a ger tzedek, but rather with a ger toshiv. I think at the previous opportunity, I think maybe it was a year or two ago, quite a while ago, did I ever give a shiur ba'aso kadisha adayin here about the concept about the geder of ger toshiv? For some reason, I think I did. So ger toshiv is a Gentile. He is not a Jew. However, he's a good guy. One that takes upon himself the Noahide code, the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. He believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he does what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects him to do. And he has preference over other non-Jews. So at the time, I discussed at great length the big chiddush that the Poravzharov was machadish, and he argues that a Ger Toshev has somewhat some nitzot, some spark of Kiddushas Yisrael, and there's Mitzas Geiris, and I argue that from all the sources it is quite clear there's nothing Jewish about him. But a Ger Toshev is entitled to live in our land amongst us if he takes upon himself the Sheva Mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands from him. Then we will make space for him, and we will accommodate, and we will let him be part of our yeshuv. But in no way is he Jewish. He's not associated with Judaism at all. And nevertheless, the Rabbeinu Rabbi Yehuda have a machloikis and a vazod of chofa medalef. Why does the pasuk put nesina lager and mechira lagoy? And in the Tamsis Advarim, both agree that you have to prefer giving a gift to a ger toishev and not selling to a Gentile that is not categorized as a ger toishev. The machloikis of Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is only, do we need a pasuk to teach us that, or is it a simple svara? But both agree that nesina lager comes before mechira lenachi. And this seems to be a great chiddush, because both ain't Jewish. So there is no mitzvah of yahavtu l'recha kumoicha. There is no mitzvah of emkesef tal v'sami. There is no mitzvah lahachiyosai v'chai uchicho imcha. All these mitzvahs refer to our brethren. And we're dealing with a situation, both are not Jewish. One is a ger toshev. V'yafur piken, the Gemara says, you have to prefer giving the nevela as a gift to the ger toshev before selling it to a non-Jew. So obviously, we're losing money. I could sell it to a non-Jew, and the Torah requires me to give it to a ger toshev. Is this a general rule? We're not dealing with nevelas. We're dealing with a house. We're dealing with a car. We're dealing with, I have a store. I have a shop. So probably this is a specific halacha which deals with nevelas. And I think the underlying principle, that would be my interpretation, I didn't see it in Achayinim, there's an isser to do schoyre b'machalos asuris. So selling nevelas can be my business. That is a prohibition. You can't sell machalos asuris. So it is only coincidental. You happen to have an avela. So the Torah says, okay, how much profit are you going to make once in a blue moon when you have an avela? And you can't really make it your business. It has only been hezdamnu loy that you could sell macholos asuris. But on a steady basis, you can't do that. So therefore, the Torah says, okay, so you happen to have an avela, give it to a ger toshev before selling it to a non-Jew. But this is not part of your routine. It cannot be part of your panos, part of your business. Because if it is part of your panos, it's not reasonable that I have to give away gifts. If I could sell something, why should I give it away as a gift? But nevertheless, in this Gemara we find that a ger toshev comes before a non-Jew that is not a ger toshev. It would be a kal v'chomer that a Jew should become before a goy. So judging by the sugyan of Avodah Zarah Chof, our conclusion must be, before you sell anything to a non-Jew, you have to give it as a gift to a Jew. But this is totally unreasonable. I want to sell my house. So I have a Jewish neighbor that is willing to accept it as a gift, but I can sell it to a non-Jew. So do I have to give it as a gift to my Jewish neighbor before selling it to a non-Jew, which would be totally unreasonable? So we will come back to the sugya of the Zohar of Chof Hamedalef. Sugya number three is Bova Metzia Ayin Aleph Omud Aleph. And the Gemara there deals with the posting that it's in Parshas Mishpatim. Im Kesef Talve Es Ami. Im Kesef Talve Es Ami. Ami V'Nochri Ami Koidim. Oni V'Oshia Oni Koidim. Ani Eicho V'Ani Eir Acheres Ani Eicho Koidim. So the Gemara gives us a system, a structure, who has precedence, who has preference. When you have money that you want to loan. So, Ami v'nochri, Ami koidim. A Jew comes before a non-Jew. The poor and the needy and the desperate come before the rich and the wealthy. And the desperate of your community, of your town, of your city, come before those that are distant. And the Gemara says, Ami v'nochri, Ami koidim, pshita. What's the revusa? And the Gemara says, you could lend this money to a Jew, but you can't get interest, because that is an issur Torah. But you could lend the money to a non-Jew and make some profit and get some interest. You need to lend to the Jew and not to the non-Jew. So this is an additional insignia in which we see that, yes, even if you will incur some financial loss, you need to prefer a Jew to a non-Jew. And therefore, im kesef talvasami, a Jew comes before a non-Jew, and the Gemara says, even though by lending the money to a non-Jew, you're going to make a profit, from the Jew you're not going to make a profit, afor piken, ami venochri ami koidim. So the Pnei Yeshua on the spot asks, what is the Revusa? If the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf Chav that even a ger comes before a ger toshev comes before a non-Jew, a Gentile, that didn't take upon himself Sheva Mitzvos Menorah, wouldn't there be a Kal Vachomer that a Jew comes before a non-Jew? So the Pnei Yeshua says, over there in that sugya, we're dealing with Nevelis, and Nevelis aren't worth that much, so it's just a Hefsid Muat. Here, when we're dealing with a Jew and a non-Jew, even though you could get substantial interest and make a substantial profit, you still have to put the Jew before the non-Jew, which once again would arouse a question. So to what extent does a person have to forego profits just to help his brethren? One could argue this is different than business dealings, because halavoa is a mitzvah essay. Im kesef talva esami is a mitzvah essay. Selling, whether it's collateral or it's real estate, there's no mitzvah to sell. So one could argue, dealing with business dealings, no, a Jew doesn't come before a non-Jew. You're entitled to sell to the one that pays the best price. But when you're lending money, that is a mitzvah essay. Im kesef talva esami is a mitzvah essay. So if you have a certain sum, you could either be mekayem a mitzvah and lend it to a Jew, or lend it to a non-Jew and make a profit, then the Jew comes before the non-Jew. So what I want to emphasize is, these three sugyas, are they related one to another? Well, they definitely have something in common, because in all three sugyas, we find that our brethren, a Jew, comes before a non-Jew. But we are dealing with three different sugyas, and they're not totally dependent one on another. So in Avodah Zarah Chof, we're dealing with an Avela. Give it as a gift to a Jew and don't sell it to a non-Jew. So that is not something that belongs to your routine, because a Jew can't do business with Nevelis. And the only circumstances in which he could sell Nevelis is only Nizdam Nuloi. The source of this sugi is a Mishnah in Trumas, and it is also brought in Psochim Daf Chof Amud Beis. That is the source Chav Beis Omid Beis and Masechet Psochim, and the sources of Mishnah and Trumas. There's an Isser to do Schoire B'macholos Asurois Im Nizdam Neloi. He's a fisherman, and he usually brings up kosher fish that have snappy vikaskeses. Once in a while, he has some shrimp or crabs or other shrotzim mayim or non-kosher fish. He doesn't have to dispose of them. He could sell them, because that is Nizdam Neloi. So, if you happen to have a nevela, so the Torah says, you're not going to become rich from this nevela. And the Pnei Yeshua says, it's a hefsid muat. It's not worth a lot of money. Give it to a Jew. And I would argue that is a specific halacha regarding nevelas. Maybe not regarding any other business dealing. This is only nevelas. But Mitzvah and Aleph, we're dealing with loans. You have to prefer lending money to a Jew, even though you're not going to make any profit, and not to a non-Jew that will pay profit. And once again, one could argue, this is only because halvoa is a mitzvah asay. It still would be somewhat unreasonable, because you're entitled to lend money to non-Jews, and this is your business. So how would a person make parnasa if we say he is mechuyev to take all this money and lend it to Jews without a profit, and not to non-Jews with a profit? So we will relate to that question in a few minutes. The third sugya is the one we started off with, Parshas HaShavua, V'chi Simkuru. Menayin kishat u'moichor, mechor yisur chavecho, talmid loyme v'chi simkuru memkar la'amisecho mechor. Menayin shimboso likro yisknem yisur chavecho, talmid loyme oikor yimena mesecho. But there's no indication in this safro that we're dealing with different prices. Maybe the Jew and the non-Jew selling for the same price, willing to pay the same price to buy. So there is no indication in this Sefro that I have to lose even a minimal profit to prefer a Jew to a non-Jew. And maybe all the Sefro means to say, and the same regarding Rashi, all they mean to say, if you could sell to a Jew or a non-Jew, and both are willing to say the same price, put your brethren before others. And if you want to buy, a Jew wants to sell, and you could buy from a non-Jew, and both are the same price, then care for your own before you care for others. But who says we need to lose out money to do so? So our source in the Parshas of Shavua, there is no indication that it incurs monetary loss at all. So we have two very interesting truths, Gedolei Olam, the Tashbits and the Ramo. Yes.
Two things. The last point, the Maisa to a Jew, you can only sell for a certain price because of a Noah. So you're very limited in the profit one can make. To a Goy, however, it could make as much profit as it would want, in theory at least.
But maybe in if that is the case, maybe you are entitled to sell to an non-Jew. What I mean to say, all we have in our basic source, in this week's Pasha, is when you're buying or selling, put Jews before non-Jews. But there is no indication in this source that is true even when you're having financial loss.
Even though it's usually probably the case, because you're very limited.
I don't think it's usually the case, because supply and demand will always have the upper hand. So, well, sometimes you will be successful in cheating a non-Jew, but a Noah is never natural. A Noah is actually cheating. So, even though there is no Isra, a Noah ben Ochrin, but that doesn't mean to say it'll be so easy to pull it off. But anyway, in our basic source, all Chazal teach us is, when you come to buy or to sell, put your brethren before others. There is no indication in this source that we are required to do so even when we bear any financial loss. But for some reason, that was the opinion of many Gedolim. So there's an interesting tshuva in Tshuvas HaTashbits. The Tashbis was one of the later Rishonim. And the Tashbis was a Talmud of the Rivash, who was a Talmud of the Ran. And Chelek Gimel Tzemekuf Nun Aleph, the Tashbis has a very harsh critique of some Kehillah, and the elders or the leaders of that community decided to make some money for the communal needs. And there were metaken at the Kona that all the Seichrim, the merchants of the city, those that have shops and sell stuff, cannot sell to a Jew unless the Jew will be paying a certain percentage more than the non-Jews. And the Jews, that was a way to collect some money for the community, obviously. So the tikkun was, you sell to a Gentile before you sell to a Jew, unless that Jew is willing to pay a certain fee on top of the market price. That was the tikkun that probably the elders of the community were metaken. And the Tashbits rejects this tikkun mekol vekol, and he writes, it's against the halacha. You need to put your brethren before others even when you're losing. So how could you impose on your brethren to pay a higher price than selling to non-Jews? You need to sell to Jews cheaper than you sell to non-Jews. So how could you make a tikkun that you sell to Jews only for a steeper price and make them pay more than non-Jewish neighbors? So therefore, the Tashbits totally rejects this minig, and he quotes the Sifro in our Pasha, Pasha's Baal. You need to put your brethren before others. And it is simple to him that Chazal and this drosha mean imatubulinkar, even if you're getting a lower price than you could get by selling to non-Jews. And the Tashbits also quotes the other two Gemaras in Bava Metzia and in Avodah Zarah. Tshuva Sanamo deals with a very interesting historical question. So the Maram Padovov, who was one of the great Gedolim in Italy going back 500 years, reprinted the Rambam, and he actually reprinted the Rambam with tikkunim, tikkunei tois. You know, he invested a lot of money, and he had a non-Jewish partner. So the Maram Padova and a non-Jewish partner published a new edition of the Mishneh Torah of the Rambam, and at the same time, a non-Jewish publisher just reprinted the previous manuscript of the Rambam without any additions, without any modifications and any tikkunim, and he was selling his edition publication for a much lower price than the one demanded by Maharam Padova and his non-Jewish partner. And we find the tshuva in the Ramah in Simen Yud, in Tshuvas HaRamah. And the Ramah has four arguments, and he asks to buy the Rambams of the non-Jewish publisher, until the Maram Padova sells the entire first run, the entire first publication of his new Rambam. And the Tshuvas HaRamah starts his tshuva with this same source in Parshas Bahar, quoted by Rashi. If you sell, you need to sell to your brethren before you sell to others, and when you buy, you need to buy from your own before you buy for others. But it's interesting that there was such fierce competition in selling the Rambam, and a non-Jewish publisher, you know, printed the Rambam, and that was the first generation when the printing presses started to work. So the Ramah says, you need to buy from your own. Kal v'chaim, the Maram Padova was one of the Gedoy Lador, and he invested in his edition. You know, they made many tikkunim and corrected many mistakes. So the Ramah says, you must put your own before others, and that is the psak of the Ramah.
That is
the major question we will discuss right now. So how much loss does one have to incur? Is there any rule? So judging by the basic sources, the Ramah doesn't go into details. And we have no inkling, how much did this Rambam cost and how much did that Rambam cost? Was it the difference between Paradis and Shapsa Frankel? I mean, what? We don't know how both editions were priced. And the Ramah doesn't go into details. So it would seem likely from Tshuvas HaRamah that even if it's a steep difference, even if it's substantial, because the Ramah doesn't specify, and neither does the Tashbitz. The Tashbitz writes, then in that Kehillah, they required every Jew to be Moisef Ezuz al kol dinar. In the time of the Tashbitz in Spain, they didn't use Zuzim and Dinarim. You know, that stopped in the days of Chazal, going back 2,000 years, 500 years ago in Spain, and in Algeria, you know, the Tashbitz went from Spain to Algeria. They didn't use Zuzim and they didn't use Dinarim. So we really, that's just a muscle. So we have no idea. How much did they demand from the Jews to pay more than the Gentile members? But neither the Tashbitz nor the Ramah don't go into details. So my feeling is, many times in Halacha there is a Hayroas Shah. The Ramah is dealing with a very specific story, a very specific case, in which one of the Gedolei Yisrael invested a lot of money to bring forth a better edition of the Rambam without mistakes. And the Ramah saw it as a Tzorech HaShoah and Migda Milsa. So Jewish people and one of the Gedolim invested a lot of money to do a service for Klal Yisrael and for Bnei Torah and for Talmid HaChachamim. Now comes a non-Jew and he just reprints the old edition with all the mistakes. So I think that Ramah had his agenda. And yes, he bases it on halachic sources, but he doesn't go into much details because he's not writing a Shulchan Aruch. He's not going into all the details. He's dealing with a specific question which he felt needs to be taken care of. The same regarding the Tashbitz. So the Tashbitz and the Ramah didn't write a halacha ledoiris because then they would be expected to specify. So how much does one need to lose to prefer selling or buying to his own and not from others or to others. So I don't think we could learn much from the Tashbetz or the Ramo. So many times when we find a Pesach dealing with a certain question, and we ask, how come he doesn't specify? So maybe there is not what to specify. And if he's not mechalek between Hefsed Merubah and Hefsed Muat, then maybe even Hefsed Merubah one has to prefer a Jew. But I don't think this is correct in the context of the Ramon detachments, because it's not a Shulchan Aruch L'Doris. These are tshuvas that were written at a specific time, dealing with a specific case, a specific phenomena, and therefore these gedolim should not be expected to specify how much loss precisely does one have to take upon himself in order to prefer Jews over others. But later poskim definitely go into detail. Starting off with Tosfos and Avodah Zarah Daf Chof Amud Aleph, and when the Gemara says that Nesina Leger comes before Mechira Lenachri, Tosfos clearly says that is only Behefsed Muat. Makes a lot of sense, especially bearing in mind both are non-Jews. So this one is better than that one. This one is entitled to live amongst us, and that one is not. But still, both are non-Jews. So Tosfos makes it very clear. I don't have to give away gifts if I could sell and make substantial profit. But if it's a Hefsed Muat, yes, one has to prefer a Ger Toshav. And based on this Tosfos, one could still argue, Tosfos only says that when we're dealing with a Ger Toshav and another Goy, but both are Gentiles. Maybe putting a Jew before a non-Jew would require taking a bigger loss. Shalosh Tshuvos Chikrei Leiv, one of the great Sephardi poskim in Chosh Mishpatzim Kuf Lamed Tes, he says, to him it's a milsa de pshita. Even between a new Jew and a non-Jew, it is only when we're dealing with a small sum of money and not a substantial profit. And he has an interesting source, an interesting argument. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, Chov Beza Medalef. And it's also a locha that is brought in Chosh Mishpatzim in Kuf Nun Vav. Peddlers come to town, merchants and peddlers, and everybody wants to sell his merchandise. If one of them is a Talmud Chochem and the others are not, then the elders of the town, Tuvei Ha'ir or the Beis Din, must tell all the others, no, you close shop. This is a Talmud Chochem. We want him to sell his chayr and go back to learning and go back to what he does best. And therefore, we are ma'ak of the others. We don't let them sell till Mr. A, who is a Talmud Chochem, still he sells his merchandise, because we're not dealing with shops and stores. We're dealing with peddlers that come and they have limited merchandise. So first we let the Talmud Chochem sell his chayre and then an open market. So the Chikra Leiv reaches a very logical conclusion. If you have no competition, then you could set the price. But the moment that it's a free market, well, goes without saying, the prices will come down. And, you know, he didn't know Adam Smith. He know nothing about capitalism, the Chikrei Leiv, but it's just basic experience and common sense. So if a Talmud Chochem comes and nobody else could sell until he sells all his merchandise, then obviously he's going to get a better price than all the others that will have to compete with each other. So how do we impose on the people of the town to pay a steeper price just because he's a Talmud Chochem? They're all Jewish, they're all good Jews. So because it wouldn't be a major difference in price, therefore, yes, he's a Talmud Chochem, so we impose upon the community they obviously will have to pay somewhat a steeper price than they will pay a day or two later when all the others will need to compete. So the Chikra Leiv writes, yes. But that is only if the difference is minimal. And the Chofetz Chaim makes the same point in Avas Chesed, the very well-known Sefer of the Chofetz Chaim, dealing with all the different facets and aspects of halavoah and chesed and tzedakah. Avos chesed perikei siman hei, the Chofetz Chaim says, all these rules between Jews and non-Jews, whether it's lending money or selling merchandise, only behefsed muat. Behefsed muat, one has to go that extra mile and prefer a Jew, whether you're buying or selling, and put him first. Some gedolim say, no hefsed at all. You know, you have to give preference to your own only if it's the same price. And that is pshat in the Sifra, in this week's parsha. When you sell, mechol amisecho. When you buy from amisecho. This is only if both are willing to pay the same price. That is a Toyaf Esraim, was one of the Gedolim 150 years ago. He was one of the Gedolim in Romania. He was the Rav of a city named Yas in Or Chaim Simchov Beis. Divrei Gaonim was one of the Gedolim in Hungary, and they argue, Lahalocha, only if both pay the same price. So what did they do with the Gemara and Avodah Zorah? As I said before, Avodah Zorah is totally coincidental, and I think it is a din mesuyim regarding nevela. HaKadosh Baruch Hu designates nevelas leger asher mishorecho. How about the Gemara and Bava Metzia? It is interesting to note, neither the Gemara and Avodah Zorah nor the Gemara and Bava Metzia is not brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's not nifsek in Shulchan Aruch, which is a big chiddush, because we do not find a choylech in Avodah Zorah. Chafa Medalef, it's a machlokes of Meiv Reb Yehuda. Both agree. Nesina Lager comes before Mechira Lenachri. The only machlokes is, do we learn that from a posek, or do we know that Mesvora without a posek? But it's not brought neither in Rambam nor in Shulchan Aruch. Same applies to Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Aleph, when the Gemara says, you need to lend to a Jew without ribis, even though you could lend to an non-Jew with ribis. So noteworthy, Choshe Mishpot, Tzadik Zayin, Sif Aleph. In that very same Braisa, Bava Metzia, Tzadik Zayin, Amad Aleph, the Gemara says, Im Kesef Tal Ve'es Ami, Ami Ve'Nochri, Ami Koidim, Oni Ve'Oshia, Oni Koidim, Ani Yechov, Ani Yeracheres, Ani Yechu Koidim. Rambam and Shechan Aruch quote, Din number two, Din number three, they skip din number one. They do bring Oni Ve'Oshia, Oni Koidim, Ani Yecho, Ani Yeracheres, Ani Yechu Koidim. They totally omit the first din, Ami Ve'Nochri, Ami Koidim. Not brought, neither on Rambam nor on Shechan Aruch. So some Gedolim maintain, Lahalocha, one does not have to put a Jew before a non-Jew unless no monetary loss is involved. But you do not have to lose money to care for your own and put them before others. And the basic argument is, tzedakah is tzedakah, and business is business. And we are entitled to earn money, supply for our families. Yes, there are dinim and rules in Shulchan Aruch. What is the share we need to give away to others, whether it's chomish, whether it's maisa, or whatever it is, but tzedakah is tzedakah, and in your business dealings, you do not have to put Jews before non-Jews, and that is the opinion of some of the poskim, as I made clear. Igros Moshe, Yoredei Chelek Gimel Siman Tzadik Gimel, deals with halava. And he deals with the Gemara and Bava Metzia. So does one have to lend money without a profit? If he could lend money to a corporation or a company or an non-Jew or with a heter iske and make ribis? And Moshe says once again, only if it's a very minimal nafka mina, but if it's any major financial loss, then one is not required to do so. So I think the fact that these halachas are not brought in Shulchan Aruch is very, very noteworthy, and we need to deal with it. So my feeling would be, we do not find anyone that is chaylik, neither on the Gemara and Bava Metzia nor on the Gemara and Avodah Zorah. But I made this clear in many other opportunities. I think it's Midas Chasidus. Both of these sugyas are midas chasidus and not halacha psuka. It's the right thing to do, but it is not a chiyuv. So, what maybe is a chiyuv, but once again, it's not minig olam. This week's parsha, put a Jew before a non-Jew when you buy, put him before a non-Jew when you sell, without any financial loss. So, if we have a grocery right nearby, and it's a supermarket not owned by Jews, and there is a grocery 5 blocks away, so do we need to make the effort and walk those 5 blocks to buy in a Jewish store and not buy in a non-Jewish store? It's the only source I am familiar with that deals with this question. So when we're dealing with monetary laws, we find a few sugyas. But what about tircha? And the Man Amshik is very adamant. If I need to lose money to put a Jew before a non-Jew, then definitely, if it's not financial laws, but just going an extra mile, a mile is a lot to go. Going an extra 30 meters, I would say. But we do not find a sugya dealing with this question. Mincha Sosha Pashas V'yetze. I write a big arichas regarding a different concept, but very closely related. So, how much money does one have to spend to acquire Chefetz de Mitzvah? So, the Ramon Semen, Tavkuf Nun Vav, Shulchan Aruch HaChaim writes, Ein o'odam chayv rabas b'zayim rav ala mitzvahs. And there's a machlokes in Achronim. How much does he have to spend to buy an eslik, to buy a lilek? Is it a tenth of what he has? Is it 20% of what he has? And this is definitely a sugya I discussed here in the past. And my opinion is, hoin rav is a relative concept. You don't have to pay an exaggerated price. It could be a thousandth of what you have. It could be 50% of what you have. And I always give the same mashal. Person is tying up his lilev, Erev Sukkos in the afternoon, and suddenly he realizes that one of his two arovis is posel. He runs to the shuk of Dalad Minim, hoping somebody is still there. And the last young boy, 15 years old, Mikapel Tziud, you know, moving out, and this guy comes running. The boy looks around and he realizes a once in a lifetime opportunity. So the guy comes panting and breathing heavily. You have an arava? He says, yes, so please give it to me. He says, 1,800 shekel. What, are you crazy? In the morning it was 5 shekel for 2 aravas. That was the morning. Now, 1,800 shekel. So the guy looks around. What should I do? Is it mechuyev to pay 1,800 shekel for an arava? We say no. Ein odom chayv rabas b'zayim rav ala mitzvahs. So he says, I don't understand. Yesterday I asked the Rav, I need to build a sukkah because my sukkah is too small. I'm getting 30 guests for sukkahs. I need to build a sukkah. 2,000 shekel is what they want. Am I mechuyev to build a sukkah? He says, yeah, of course. I mean, you can't have 30 people eating in your house. So, yeah, if you want to invite guests, you need to buy a sukkah. So he says, so is this hoin rav or it's not hoin rav? Now you're paskel, I don't have to buy an arava for 2,000 shekel. And yesterday I got a psak, I do have to build a sukkah for 2,000. To build a sukkah, it's not hoin rav. It's a reasonable price. But to buy an arava, it's not a reasonable price. Hoin rav is a reasonable price. That is exactly the door of hoin rav. And I say, if the Ramo, I said Tof Kuf Nun Vav, that was a mistake. Tof Reish Nun Vav. If the Ramo Tof Reish Nun Vav doesn't say how much yes, and Toises and the Rashman, Bova Kamet of Testament Base, don't say how much yes, it is Bechavona that they don't say. But it doesn't depend on percentages. It's a relative concept. But dealing with money, It is relatively easy to define how much effort does a person need to exert to be mekayem a mitzvah. And I brought many sources, even though far less sources than dealing with how much money does a person have to spend. But I did bring some very interesting sources. And this is also relevant to our question. So you need to put a Jew before a non-Jew. What expense? So if you need to get into the car and drive a half hour to buy from a Jewish shop, you know, three pints of milk, do I need to make such a major effort? Or so, bearing in mind that these halachas are not brought in Shulchan Aruch at all, so obviously it's a midas hasidus, it's the right thing to do, but it's not halacha psuka. I think it depends on reasonability. So if you want to sell a house or something major, doesn't come up every day, and you have a Jew and a non-Jew, both are willing to pay the same price, goes without saying, care for your brethren, care for our own. If you could do a chesed with a yid, why not do so? And the same selling. But when we're dealing with routine little sales, you know, I have a supermarket or I have a grocery, do I always have to go out of my way and buy in a Jewish shop? Definitely is a mitzvah, see this? If you could support your own, then do so, but it's not a chiyuv gadol. So this is a brief discussion of a very interesting halacha. So once again, if we're dealing with a hefsed muat, it's the right thing to do. It's not a chiyuv. It's the right thing to do. If we're dealing with a situation in which you are incurring no financial loss, there's no downside, and there also is no major tircha, you definitely should put your own before others. So maybe the safro would be more of a chiyuv than what we learned from the other two sources, from the Avodah Zarah, from Adalav and Bamziah, and I love Adalav, even though this safro is also not brought in any halachic source. What is the chiddush of the sefro? I think it still is a chiddush. It still is a chiddush that because we're dealing with sales, we're not dealing with a chiyuv of chesed or tzedakah. Is it a chiddush or not? How could I say it's a chiddush when the Gemara Bava Metzia Ayin Aleph ask this very same question? Ami v'nachri, Ami koidim, and the Gemara asks, what's the chiddush? On the other hand, in Avodah Zarah Chof Amid Aleph, it's a machlokes of Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda, whether it is a chiddush or not. So, you just touched a very interesting shaila. So why in Bava Metzia Ayin Aleph, when we're dealing with loans, the Gemara says, pshita, that you need to put a Jew before a non-Jew. And that's Toma de Gemara. But in Avodah Zarah Chof Amid Aleph, we're dealing with a ger and a goy, it's a machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe that's the difference. Between a ger toshav, and other non-Jews, that is a machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda, because none of them are Jewish. But regarding a Jew and a non-Jew, the Gemara says, that's not a chiddush at all. So why is this Safru a chiddush? Well, Safru comes before Gemara. So maybe Stoma de Gemara and Bava Metzia feels it's not a chiddush, but the Safru feels it is a chiddush. Or maybe this would prove that the Safru really deals, and the chiddush of the Safru is you need to incur a loss to put a Jew before a non-Jew, and that is a chiddush. And that is exactly the tenets of Bava Metzia. If you could lend money to a goy in ribis, and you have to forego that ribis, that is a chiddush. So that would be pshat in the Safra. And the Tashvitz and the Ramo, that is the way they understood the Safra. And that would be miyashiv. So what is the chiddush? Maybe the chiddush is, even if it's more convenient for you to sell to a non-Jew, it's more comfortable, it's more convenient. He's closer. You might have some other interest. He might give you, better payments. You know, the conditions of payment might be preferable. So we don't know, because the Sefro is so sosum, we could offer different interpretations. So halacha lamaase, I just want to get back to this point. A person definitely doesn't have to take upon himself substantial loss to put a yid before a non-Jew. His share in mitzvah tzedakah, he will give in the context of tzedakah, but not necessarily in the context of business dealings. But if it's a minimal loss, it is the right thing to do, but one cannot say it's halacha psuka, because none of these three halachas are brought in Shulchan Aruch. V'haloi davohu. One additional point I want to make. Lanias daiti. If you could sell to an non-Jew for a better price, or you buy from a Jew and you pay more than you could buy from an non-Jew the same product, I think the difference could be taken into account of miser guilt if the Jew is not well to do, even though you purchased. But if I could purchase that same object from a non-Jew for a cheaper price, and the only reason I pay a higher price is I want to support this Jew, then that would be defined as tzedakah, even though we're dealing with a purchase. It's not a handout. But ultimately, the only reason I'm paying that steeper price is to help out one of our own. So if he's rich, you can't give Maisa money to rich people. But if he really is a person that needs help, that needs support, and the only reason I pay a steeper price is just because I wouldn't be Mekayim this halacha, in my opinion, that would be defined as tzedakah. So I find this a very interesting sugya, a very interesting discussion, and we did deal not only with the basics of the sugya, but also with some halacha lamaisa dealings and suggestions. So this week, Thursday, is Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is a very special day. And there are different reasons why it's such a special day. So the Beis Yosef Mesimet Tov Tzadik Gimel Siv Beis writes that the days of Omer also betespoiris ad lag baOmer mepnei sheOmerim sheboy biyom pasku melamus, and this is a very interesting formula of the Shulchan Aruch. Mepnei sheOmerim, it is said, and the Beis Yosef doesn't bring certain source, but that's what people say, that lag baOmer the Megeva was over. And then Amor writes, Noyagim Ktsas Simcho Ve'ein Oimrim Tachanu. So the Chasam Sofer and Semen Reish Lamed Gimel Shuvas Chasam Sofer Yoredeya, and the Shoel HaMeshev and Chelek Hei Semen Lamed Tes. I think the Shoel HaMeshev went overboard, too extreme. But the Chasam Sofer wonders. He writes, Shomati Shebetzvas, they dance and sing, and I don't understand why. If this is the day in which Reb Shimon was nostalgic lebeis Elom, koshes silukam shel tzaddikim kekriyas yamsuf, so why do they rejoice? And the Shoel HaMeshev goes to the extreme and he says, I am confident that in the days of the Beis Yosef and the Ari, they didn't do that, and the Beis Yosef and the Ari wouldn't let them dance and sing and rejoice. B'mechila mikvoy terosai, well, obviously, he wasn't familiar enough in Kisvei Ari, because Shara Kavonas is one of the Shemayin Shorim, and as we know, the most important source in Kisvei Ari is Shemayin Shorim. That is the most reliable source compiled by Reb Chaim Vital. And in Drush Yud Beis in Shara Kavonas, Reb Chaim Vital says that the Ari went up to Miran and he was dancing and singing together with the multitudes that came together. So the Shoel HaMeshev is so confident, oh, the Ari wouldn't let them do that. Not only he wasn't Moicha, he was part of it. Yes, and he was up there, together with people dancing and singing. V'lo kedivra Shoel HaMeshev. So the Chasam Sofer and the Shoel HaMeshev both assume that this is the way in which Reb Shimon Olo Besaro Hashomaimo. But that assumption has no early source. So there's a very vivid and stirring and moving description of Reb Shimon's Estalkus in the Idro, which is part of the Zohar. But there's no mention when was that. And the Chido, who was also living in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim, and one of the great Mekabolim, the Chido was a Ishish Koilis. He wrote so many Svarim, but Kol Mekzoyis HaTorah, in Aloha, in Kabbalah, and Drush. And the Chido is skeptic about the question, is this the day of Reb Shimon's Estalkus? And the Chido suggests different reasons why this day is a day of Simcha. Some say it is in this day that Rabbi Kiva brought together Rabbi Senu Shebedorim, his later Talmidim, and Reb Shimon was one of the five. And he started to rebuild the Torah world after the devastation of 24,000 Talmidim that perished, and that is why it's a Yom Simcha. So there are different reasons why it's a Yom Simcha. And the Bais Yosef writes, Poskulomus, and the Meiri says the same before the Bais Yosef. The basic source of the story of tragedy is in Yevam HaSamech Beis. And the Gemara says, Chov Dalad Elef Talmidim Hoyol HaRabiku, V'kula Meisu Ben Pesach Latzeles, Mepnei Shaloi Nahagu Kovoi Zevese, V'hoyu Oilam Shomeim, Ad Sheburev Ekivim, Eitzel Rav Yisemim Shebedoroim, V'shono Lohem. And Rabbi Yisrael Shebedorim were Rabbi Meir Bar Anes, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, Rabbi Yossi Ben Chalafta, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and Rabbi Lozor Ben Shalom. Many ask, why? Why did that happen? 24,000 Talmidei Chachamim perished. Shaloi Nagu Kovoi Tzeh B'Zeh. So is that Chiyuv Koreis? Chiyuv Misa B'Dei Shomayim? Such a harsh punishment? For what? For what? It's not Gimel Avedis Chamor Yishev Teire. It's not Chil Shabbos. Not Chai V'Krisis. Lo Yinagu Kovo Yizeh V'Zeh. So I just want to make two comments. I heard many times from my great Rebbe, from the Kloiser Mega Rebbe. And he used to tell one of his early memories and recollections. And he said, I was a little child, 6 or 7 years old, and I was sitting in my great father's lap. The father of the Kloiser Mega Rebbe was the Rudniker Rav, and he was a direct grandson of the Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim's son was the Gorlitzer Rav, his son was the Rudniker Rav, and the fourth generation was the Kloiser Mega Rebbe. And my father was crying, and I asked him, Father, why are you crying? And he said, Zalmalai b'chbindach mekana, I envy you. And I asked my father, you're a great Rebbe, you have many Hasidim. I'm a little boy, I don't even have one chassid, so why do you envy me? It should be the other way around. And my great father told me, I envy you because you didn't know the Divrei Chaim. And once again, I was perplexed, and I asked my father, once again, I should envy you because you had the schus of seeing and knowing the Divrei Chaim. So my father said, you didn't know the Divrei Chaim, you didn't see him, so what could they expect and demand from you, L'Achameya V'Esrim? But they will ask me. You had the schus of being Mishamash the Divrei Chaim, and this is how you look. So my father was crying. So being Mishamash and Adol Gadol is not only a privilege, it's an awesome responsibility. Being close to an Adol Gadol is not only a schus. It is an achrayus. It's a tremendous responsibility. And my feeling is, min hashamayim, those 24,000 Talmidim were asked, you are Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva and you learned nothing from him? Isn't your Rebbe the one that said, v'yahavtu l'reichu k'moichu zeh klal gadol b'toira? Isn't your Rebbe the one that taught you Chovev Odom Shenivra B'Tzelem, Chaviv in Yisrael Shenikra Bonam Ramakoyim? Isn't it your Rebbe that taught us Es Hashem Elokecho Tiro, the rabbis, Talmidei Chachamim? You call yourselves Talmidim of Rebbe Kiva and you know nothing about what Rebbe Kiva taught you. How could you, of all people, Loi Nagu Kovoi Zeh B'Zeh, being Talmidim of the great Rebbe Kiva? and an additional feeling and thought. Why was this such a great tragedy that we need to remember and mourn thousands of years later? Our people know many tragedies, and sometimes far more than 24,000 perished. And we do not commemorate all those tragedies and remember them and mourn over them every year. I think when 24,000 Talmidei Rabbi Akiva perished, it wasn't only a personal tragedy of 24,000 families. 24,000 almanas is a horrendous number. Tens of thousands of yesoimim is an unbelievable tragedy. But it went beyond that. The entire Mesoira of Torah was in question. Because Rabbi Akiva was the greatest Tana of his generation. And he was one of Matikei HaShemua. And this was a life's toil, 24 years. 24 years it took to produce these 24,000 Talmidim. And they all perished in a short period. And the entire continuity of Mesoira was at stake. If not, Rabbi Akiva mustered the strength in his elderly years. And once again, starting from scratch, from Aleph Beis, with Rabbi Yisenu Shebedorim, the entire Mesoira would be in question. And that is part of the tragedy that we need to remember. And why did this happen? Shaloi nahagu kavoy ze beze. So the Gemara doesn't say shalo ahavu ze etze, but rather shaloi nahagu kavoy ze beze. Many times I explained, you have to l'roich ha'komoich ha'zeh kal v'lo b'toyre. It's not in Shas Bavli. This is in Safra, Torah's Kohenim, and Yerushalmi Nedorim Daf Lamed. And this is one of the most famous memorim. But what people aren't aware of, Ben Azai says, Zeh Sefer told the Sodom klal godol heimeno. Ben Azai was a Talmud Chovet to Rabbi Akiva. And Ben Azai says, no. I don't think we have to echel komeichu is the most important teaching. I think Zeh Sefer Tal Sodom taps it. What's so special about Zeh Sefer Tal Sodom? So my feeling is, Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai argue over a very fundamental question. What is the most central, basic, fundamental trait, characteristic of a just, decent, humane, Torah-dike society? Rabbi Akiva says, we have to l'reichu k'moichu. Ben Azai says, no, I don't think so. Because love by its very nature is never uniform. We're people, and that is part of human nature. We love some people more than we love others. And sometimes it's love at first sight, and sometimes it just never happens. So love cannot be the most fundamental sentiment and idea in a Torah-dike society. Ben Azai says it is respect, it is kavod. Zeh Sefer Toldos Odom Betzelem Elokim Bora Oisam. The recognition and awareness that each and every one of us is a Tzelem Elokim, that is more important than V'yahavtulah. So in my vision, in my imaginary vision, I could almost see and hear Ben Azai rising to challenge Rabbi Akiva. And everybody's staring at him. How do you dare? How do you dare? And Ben Azai apologizes and he says, Rebbe, please understand. What I say is not my Torah, it's your Torah. Because you are the one that taught us in Peter Gimel HaMasech Tassav, Yitzchov Avodim Shenivro B'Tselem. Chibi Yisrael Enoi Dazle Lodim Shenivro B'Tselem Elokim. So it's not me, it's you. Yes, you are the one that taught us we have to re'echu komoichu zekladl b'toyra, but you also said, and you also taught us, chavav adam shenivro b'tzelem elokim, chavivin yisol shenikru bonim l'makayim. So I think, says Ben Azai, maybe respect is more important than love, because we need to respect those that we have difficulty loving. And we need to respect those that maybe we do not love. And we need to respect those that might have different attitudes and different opinions about many important things. So that is the way I understand the machlokes between Ben Azai and Rabbi Akiva. So whether it's Ahavu or Kavod, Loinagu kavoid zebeze. And we find the same story with minimal changes in Koheles Rabo Perikei. And the lotion there is Kuna Mesu Mempes Aceres Mepne Shehoisu Eneim Tzoro Bitoiro Ze Beze. They didn't fight about business, about money, about COVID. Toira Dika Machlekesim Eneim Hoisu Tzoro Bitoiro Ze Beze. And it still brought about tragedy. So in these days, we need to invest more effort and machshava and thought how to enhance Ahavas Leim and Kavod Chaverim. So why did the Megefa stop on Lag BaOmer? So I have a feeling. Just a week ago, and I speak about this every year in the Yemei HaSvira, Reb Shlomo Salanter taught his Talmidim that the Memtes Yemei Svira coincide with Memchas Dvorim Shatoyra Nikneis Bam, and each and every day you need to work on a specific midah, going forward from one day to the other. The Chiddush Arim says the same. So if we take out a Siddur or a Mishnayis, and a Perek Vav, we count the days one after the other. Number 32 is Oyeves Abrius. So I wish to guess what the Chiddush Arim demanded from his Chassidim and Rabbi Sol Zalanta demanded from his Talmidim, so we don't know whether Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was a Chassid or a Litvak. I definitely assume he was a Chassid. Oh, I'm learning Kabbalah all the time and the Zayar. Well, maybe I'm prejudiced. But whether he wore a Shtreimel or a Hamburg, a Kaftan or a Frack, Benkach or Benkach, the Chiddush Arim says the same, and Rabbi Sol Zalanta says the same. Either he belonged to this camp or to that camp. So the Bekiva obviously demanded from his Talmidim the same. Work on one of those kinyonim each and every day. Lamed Beis Zoyeves Abrias, Lamed Gimel, the Megefa was over. The Megefa was over. When they dealt with Avis Abrias on day 32, day 33, the plague was over. Because they were metakin. They were metakin. The chait, the aveira of Loi Nagu Kovit Zeb is there. And that is why Oimrim, Shebalag BaOmer, Pasku Melamus, because in day 32, they dealt with Oyeves Abrias. So, Imbayach Shavei Messiah. Ahavas Abrias, Ahavas Leim, Kvoid Chaverim, and Yiras Talmid HaChachomim. Those are the three teachings of Rabbi Kiva. Yavtu Achakum Ochozek Lodl B'Toyra, Chov Avodim Shenivir V'Tzelem, Es Hashem Alkecho Tiro, Shimon Am Soini, Hoyo Doirish, Kol Esen Shevetoyra, Kiven Shegi Ala Es Hashem Alkecho Tiro, Piresh, Ad Shebo Rabbi Kiva, V'Omar, L'Rabbis Talmid HaChachomim. So these are things that we need to deal with BMAR. Now we should be Zoyah to be amongst those Talmid HaChachomim, Shomarim Sholom B'Yotam, B'Kavod, B'Ava, B'Yira, and we should be Zoyah to Chasod HaMerubim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send us, as we say every night by the Svira, Hu Rachamon, Hu Yachze Elono, Avoides Beis HaMikdosh, L'Mekoymo, B'Mehero, V'Yomeinu.
How could you remove anything from the Hiroa Shah? We weren't talking about the same thing.